We live in a city that is filled with over 100,000 people. And the amount of times that I've heard people come up and say that they're just feeling lonely and having, you know, they don't know why, they feel surrounded by so many people, but they still have this sense of loneliness. And within those people that I talk to, it's not really the usual ones that you might think that would be lonely, but they do have friends and they go to events and they still come in feeling like they're not a part of it or feeling lonely. And yes, you can be surrounded by people and friendships, but there still can be a spirit of loneliness that can sometimes get in. And you can go through seasons where, you know, you do have that sense of loneliness, and you go home and you just, all you want to do is cry, and all you want to do is just stay indoors and not talk with people, because that spirit of loneliness just comes over you. And sometimes you think, you're like, why am I feeling like this? I'm a friendly person, I'm an out there person, or even if you don't feel like you're an out there person, but you just get this sense of loneliness over you. The feeling can feel so overwhelming at times, and it's really, it can just be really, really hard, and you sometimes just can't get yourself out of it. But the thing is, God doesn't want us to be feeling lonely. You know, the devil kind of comes in and he creates isolation, and he says, you know, puts you over here and he says, this is who you are. You're separate from everything else. You're not a part of this. You know, the friends that are around you, they just feel sorry for you. You just feel like they don't want to hang out with you, or you feel like you might be bothering them. But this is the devil's. This is his plan. That's his plan. He wants you to feel lonely. He doesn't want you to feel a part of it. But God, he tells you that you're not alone. You are not alone. He says in Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness and my right hand. God wants you to know that you are not alone, that he is with you. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, and surely I am always with you to the very end of age. There are so many countless verses in the Bible that God declares that he is with you and he is for you. And God says that he'll never leave nor forsake you. But this is something that you need to get inside of you and to feel that God, that you are God's child, that you are his chosen son and daughter. And it's something that you need to declare over your life. So tonight, I want us to stand to our feet. And if you've got this feeling of loneliness, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we go through those seasons where we do feel lonely, and the devil does come in and tries to attack us. But God is with you. And I just feel like he is wanting to tell someone tonight that you are not alone. That you are not alone. If this is something that's inside of you, that you're just feeling a sense of loneliness, I just want you to put your hand in the air. Don't worry about anyone else around you. This is just between you and God. Just put your hand in the air and just receive from God. Just put your hand in the air. If you're feeling this overwhelming sense of loneliness, that you just don't understand why this might be happening. And if there's someone around you that has this, you know, has their hand in the air, I want us to be, you know, to unify together, and I want us to pray over them and to pray with them, because we are a family, and that's what we do. We band together and we join together, because this is the body of Christ and there is no loneliness in that. So I want you to put your hand on someone who's got their hands up, and right now we're going to pray over them. I want you to declare over their lives that this is not something of God, that they are not alone. Reach your hand out to them. Father God, we pray right now over loneliness, for the people that are feeling lonely, Lord. We declare that the spirit of loneliness is gone. We pray that, Father God, that in each person's heart, Lord God, that you create, Lord, this feeling, Lord, of joy and of hope, Lord. We declare right now that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fill them afresh. Let them know, Father God, how much you love them and care for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're getting this feeling during the week, start declaring verses over your life. There is so much power in declaring verses over your life. There are so many verses that I could go through of God declaring into your life that He is with you. So just get out those verses, have them on handy, you know, have them on your phone. And when you get that sense and that feeling, you declare those verses over your life. And God will come in and He will shape it and He will make you feel fresh and renewed. Awesome. Fantastic.
Hey, you can take your seats for a moment. I was going to talk about rugby, but I won't do that. Just there's a word I want to speak about tonight, and it's a word that for many, many years has been a word that just sort of resonates inside my heart, and it's the word habitual. Have you all heard the word before? I remember when I first sort of heard it, I thought, that's a bad word. But the word habitual, H-A-B-I-T-U-A-L. So what it says in the dictionary is that it's of the nature of a habit is something that is fixed by or resulting from. So it's fixed by or resulting from. And whenever we hear the word, when we hear the word habitual, we fall to the negative side. What bad habits do I have? And what are the things? But the dictionary says two things. It says resulting from or fixed by. And I believe that in our lives as Christians, we need to be habitual about a lot of the things we do that get us where we're going. And you see, when I was thinking about rugby and the line out, that's not the first time they've ever done that. Believe me, that guy can do it in his sleep. It's habitual to him. He can throw it exactly where he needs to be because he's done it over and over and over. And I believe in our spiritual lives, we need to form good habits. We need to be habitual about quite a few things. You know, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and it said, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, the son of Nun, would not leave the tent. He was habitual about staying at the tent. You know, in my life, am I habitual about coming to church? Am I habitual about reading my Bible? About, you know, coming to church and, I don't even feel like singing, but, I'm going to be habitual about this and I'm going to lift my hands as a sacrifice of praise. And, that guy wants me to jump up and down again. You've got to be kidding me. Does he know what I've done this week? Well, hang on. I'm going to be habitual and I'm going to bring a dance and praise and I'm going to worship God. Amen? Because I believe that when we form good habits, we will get good results. And the same is the opposite. You know, I didn't get my wife's permission, but she wanted to run a half marathon and sort of conned me to do it with her. In the beginning, she sort of struggled to do 2Ks. We'll move on from that right away. But as she did that more and more, she got to 21Ks. And you know, sometimes in the things of God, we try something or we do something, not working. Well, you got to do it a few more times. And you got to keep doing it. Because when you're habitual about the right things, you form good habits and it fixes things in your life and it can change you. And on the other side, habitual habits can also be, they can result in stuff and it can be real bad stuff. And I read this week in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't want to mention these and we polish up on Sunday and do our best and we come stand here and we've all got it sorted. But, you know, just the same way, good habits start little and you do more and more and more. That's how bad habits start. No one just wakes up and is right off the end scale of drunkenness or whatever. It's little things. And I'm just mentioning one thing. And I really believe that habitual needs to be a positive in your life and not a negative. And you know, there's some things that we talk about in Christian circles, and we talk about them, and you can go to heaven with some bad habits, okay? This is not very scriptural, but I really believe you can. With some bad habits, you can go to heaven. But you know what? It's going to be like having the handbrake on permanently in your life. You will never be set free. You'll never be able to move in the things of God. You'll watch other people coming here to pray for people, or people seeing miracles in their life, and you wonder, why not me? It's because there are habits in your life that are keeping the handbrake on. If you've got a bad economy rate in your life, a bad fuel economy in your life, it's because you've got handbrakes and you've got things holding you down. I shared a testimony a few weeks ago about my dad. When he got saved at the age of 24, he was told he's an alcoholic, he won't see 30. And he got into a church, and miraculously, when the guy said, "You need to come forward," he ran forward, he put his hand up, and he got saved. He never drank again from that day. He never smoked again from that day. I believe God is in the business of miraculously breaking habits. Amen? People struggle for years and years, and they do all sorts of hypnosis and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know what? God can break habits. God's in the business of that. And so I want to do two things tonight, because when you do an altar call, you've got to be really clever. And if I say, come up here for bad habits, no one's going to come up. But I want to really challenge you. If you've looked in your life and said, you know, I've got no bad habits, but I don't have a lot of good habits. You know, John Cameron said about, it must have been almost 2 years ago, that he challenged us to, every morning, the first thing you do before you do anything else is read a verse or read scripture. And before you go to bed, the last thing you see, read a scripture. And so I said, I want to do that. And I challenged myself. And you know what? It's automatic now. When I pick my phone up in the morning and switch the alarm off, the next thing I'll do is I'll go to read a verse or read a chapter or two. And so it's become a habit. And so, and I want to speak to you. If you say, man, I come to church now and then. But you're saying, you know what? I want to do something, and I want to make this a habit in my life, habitual. I want to go to church. Then I want you, and I'm going to ask, we're going to have an altar call in a minute, and we're going to everyone understand. But I want to say, you need to take a step to go somewhere. You can't go somewhere thinking, well, I'm going to just stand here. And so you might be, I want to read my Bible every day, or I want to pray more, or I want to come to church more regularly, twice on a Sunday, not once on a Sunday. I want you to come forward as well then and say, I'm going to take a step forward as a sign, yes, I want to do this. You know, when the teacher asks, who knows the answer, what do? You got to make an action. And it's the same with God. God wants to see you make an action. And then on the other side, if you've got a habit that, you know, no one ever knows about, it's a handbrake, it's something that just never ever wants to go, it's like an anchor that you're dragging with you, then I want you to come forward as well and say, God, I want to leave this here today. I want to cut the rope. I want to put the handbrake off. I want you to set me free from this habit. We want the word habitual to be a positive in our lives and not a negative. Is that all right? Won't everyone stand up? And then I'm going to ask you, as we sing, you just come real quick. We're not going to wait long, but you come. If you want to make positive habits and put your hand up, you come and do that. And if you want to say, God, I've got a habit I want to break, you put your hand up and you come right forward. Someone's going to come pray. You don't even tell them what it is. And they're not going to ask. If they do, send them to me. They're not going to ask you. This is between you and God. A chance for you to just come and say, God, I want to be habitual about the way I worship you, the way I love you, the way I serve you. Amen.
I just want to share a little bit tonight about the presence. You can take your seats when you're ready. Just be. You know the presence of God is here, right? Wow. Wow. God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the one who set the stars in place. His presence is here. For us. How amazing is that? Yeah. Do we really get that? Wow. I want to share from you from 2 Samuel. You know, we don't have to carry a big golden ark, which was the Ark of the Covenant, which was where the presence of God resided. He didn't reside within people. He chose an ark to reside in, this Ark of the Covenant, and the people of Israel just carried it with them, so they had the presence of God with them wherever they went. We don't need to do that. But I just want to share with you from 2 Samuel. It says, now King David was told, because the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, had been placed in a man's house
for safekeeping Obed-Edom. And it says that in the 3 months he had it, his whole family was blessed. His whole household was blessed. And everything he owned was blessed because of the presence of God. King David was told about this. So David went to bring the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David because he wanted the presence of God. And he did it, it says, with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. He was so overjoyed. He was so amazed. He wanted the presence of God. Wearing a linen ephod, and that in those days was their underwear. It's the thing you see Jesus on the cross in, you know, the looks like a nappy. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. Say, all his might. Why? Because the presence of God was there. He wanted the presence of God. He knew the value of the presence of God. He saw the blessings in the presence of God. And he wanted that. He wanted it close. And it overjoyed him. And he couldn't hold back. And he didn't care who was watching. He didn't care whether he was in a nappy or whether he was fully clothed. He wanted the presence of God. And it says that David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. That is full on. While he, and listen to this, all of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord, they were doing it with shouts and sounds of trumpets. All of Israel. I'm just trying to hit home here tonight. Sometimes I think we undervalue the presence of God. Sometimes I really don't think we understand what it is that we have, what He allows us to have at our disposal, whenever, wherever. But in an environment like this, where we all come together to celebrate the presence of God, there is power. And I don't want us to miss out. Because with His power comes miracles. With His power comes amazing signs and wonders. With His power comes love. With His power comes peace. With His power comes everything we need as we submit ourselves in the presence of God. But do you know what? The one thing that can get in the way of that is us. David's wife ridiculed him for dancing just with her nappy on in the streets in front of the people of Israel. And I just want to read you what he said to her, because this, I think, is really powerful. He returned home to bless his whole household, and she ridiculed him. David said to her that it was my God that chose me. It wasn't you, it wasn't your father, King Saul. It was God that chose me. And He appointed me, and He called me, and He chose me. So before my Lord, I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes and the eyes of everybody else for His glory. Tonight, I just wonder whether we truly want to allow the presence of God in our lives. And I just want to give opportunity tonight. Maybe you've felt like you've struggled to press through into the presence of God. Maybe you've felt like there's something stopping you. I want to tell you something. It's you. I want to tell you something. It's me. It's a choice. It's a choice. the presence of God is so real, and tonight is a Holy Spirit night, and we are here to celebrate His presence. And the thing that's going to stop us receiving everything He has for us tonight is us. Because we're unwilling to step through, and we're unwilling to show, or we're unwilling to bow, or we're unwilling to sing, or we're unwilling to yell, or we're unwilling to do whatever He's calling us to do, because that's what we want to do to honor Him in this space. And as we give more and more of ourselves, it reflects the value we place on His presence. So let's stand tonight.
There is a reason why it says in the Bible to enter His gates with praise and thanksgiving, isn't there? That was incredible. Alright, you guys can stand up actually. I was going to get you to sit down, but keep on standing up. So I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 1, 6-7. And it says, "Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." We all have gifts. God is a generous God. He's given us gifts. He gave us Jesus, and He gave us the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we actually have spiritual gifts as a believer. And when Steph and I got married, we got lots of gifts, and it was awesome. But we've been living with my mother-in-law, which is awesome. But it means that all the gifts get stored away. They're in the cupboard. They're in the garage. They're still in their packets. They're brand new, but they're not getting used. And I believe that there's people here, Christians who have been Christians for a long time, and maybe you still have some gifts that are buried away in the cupboard, that are buried away in the garage, that are like brand new. They're fresh. They're of God, but they're not being used. I believe with the Spirit, there are counterfeits to the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Bible, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." And I believe that it is important to be filled with the Spirit and to not follow these things of the world, which may seem so promising and awesome and fulfilling, but really they just leave us dead and dry. And we will never fully discover the gifts of God that are inside of us through following the ways of the world. It's just not how it works. You know, we need to be all in. We need to be all in. We need to fan into flame the gifts of God that are inside of us. There's people here that are called to prophesy over people, that are called to heal people, that are called to encourage people. You know, we need to be a church that walks in our spiritual gifts and discover it daily. It's like a daily thing. Like, and we need to seek after them. We need to seek after these gifts. Paul says to eagerly seek after the spiritual gifts. We need to eagerly seek after these gifts. We are alive because of the Spirit. It makes us alive. And I believe there's people here tonight that you want to discover what your gift is. You want to walk in your spiritual gift. And if that's you, if you want to walk in your spiritual gifts, or maybe you haven't been allowing yourself to receive from the Spirit. Maybe you feel a bit dry. You've allowed other things to get in to your heart. This is for you as well. So if you want to walk in your gift, your spiritual gift, to advance the kingdom of God, come up the front. Or if you feel a bit dry and weary, come up the front also.
Is a prophetic name. Increase is talking about getting bigger, and I believe it's not just for the name of the conference. I believe the Lord wants all of us who are going to increase to actually increase. I'm not talking about putting on weight. I'm talking about increasing in your spirit, increasing in your influence, increasing and enlarging and your expectation from God. Increase is what God wants to do in your life. It's not just a conference we attend. It's something He wants to do in us and through us. You know, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, in the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us to ask and we would receive. to seek and we will find, and to knock and that door will be open to us. And I believe the reason why we don't often receive is simply because we don't ask. And the reason why more doors are not open to us is because we simply do not knock. Why don't we? Maybe we're too scared. Maybe we're intimidated by the devil. Maybe we're thinking, well, what if it doesn't happen? And what will people think? And all this stuff. Instead of just simply believing God and asking Him. Yes. For that breakthrough, for that thing. He puts desires in our hearts not to tease us. He's not a tease. He puts desires in our hearts for good things, for good reason. And He wants us to break through in faith and ask. He's saying, will you just ask and then you'll receive? Will you just seek and then you'll find? These prayer meetings this week are seeking Him. We're going to seek Him and then we're going to find. I am so excited about what God is going to do at Increase. Yes. You know, already this morning I heard about an amazing answer to prayer from someone who we've been praying for here in our church, who's been in hospital over 6 months. He's just been released and given the all clear. And I thought, thank you, God. This is what you're all about. Miracles, breakthroughs. So exciting. So what I want us to do in just a moment is ask God for what He wants to do for you in your life over Increase. And I don't want you to ask small. I want you to ask big. I want you to believe big. I am so excited about this Increase. Already this year, our regos are way ahead of where they were at this time last year, 5 days out. And last year was the biggest and best one we've had so far. I can't wait to see what He is going to do in this place, in our lives, in 5 nights time, in the whole weekend. Do you know, something happens when we have these mountaintop times with God at conferences. I know 1 year, Alan and I, it was about, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 7 years ago, and we were in a really tight place financially. We'd taken some risks and got involved in a subdivision, and that was all good, and that was going to be great. But then the global financial crisis kicked in just as those sections went on the market, and nothing sold. Nothing sold over 2 years. Nothing. Not one offer, nothing. And we were in a desperate place and we were believing God. And we went up to this conference and Pastor Phil Pringle prayed for us as we went out in faith for a miracle on an altar call. And I fell over and it was awesome. And do you know what? 4 of those sections sold within a month. Within 2 weeks, 3 of them had contracts on them. It was a miracle. And these things happen when we are on the mountaintop with God. When we get desperate, when we ask, when we seek, and when we knock, doors open. He comes through. But He hates apathy, and He doesn't want us just to sit back, oh yeah, whatever. Well, I don't know, let's just wait and see. We'll just case sarah, sarah. He hates that attitude. In fact, He wants to get the Holy Ghost high pressure hose and hose that apathy off us with the fire hose of the Holy Spirit. I used to hose down the cow shed on the farm, and I loved the power of the high pressure hose that cow muck would flee in Jesus' name. You want to get the high pressure hose of the Holy Spirit and hose yourself down for apathy. Get rid of that apathy. He wants us to be people of faith. He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. We're going to find. So what we're going to do right now, in a moment, we're going to sing that awesome song again from the bridge. But I want all of us to stand up right now. Let's do that. And I want you to ask God for something right now, some breakthrough, some miracle you want to see in your life. And then I'm going to ask us all to move out of our seats in faith and to bring that thing we're asking God for to the altar. There's a lot of space on the sides and in the aisle. And we're going to sing this and we're going to worship God and we're going to hold out our hands like this, like holding that thing that we believe in God for and giving it up to Him. We're saying, God, I'm asking You for this. So Father, right now, show us what it is. It'll be the first thing that comes to your mind. You almost don't dare to ask for it. You almost don't dare to believe God because you think, who am I to ever ask for this? Who am I to ever believe God for this? But God says, ask and you will receive. Seek to you. Thank you, Lord. As soon as you've got something, you're going to ask God for, come, come.